Good morning. It's 11 o'clock. Welcome to the third hour of the Roundtable. We begin the hour with a discussion between the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo, and Alan Chartok. Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank the listeners for putting up with us.
I was going to use those exact words, putting up with us. Okay, Governor, let's go. Let's start talking about California. Way across the country, the other side, you know, they had some very strict rules for automobiles, which did help to clear up the tremendous smog they had there. And now the president comes in and says, nope, you can't have those laws that only apply to cars there. It has to be across the whole country. Does that affect New York at all?
No, but I would say that what the president is doing is incredible and unbelievable, except it's this president. Traditional Republican orthodoxy always deferred to state and local. State and local knows better. Federal government is far and removed. Leave the authority with the state and local. Here you have states that have had the authority under the Clean Air Act to set their own standards. And you have the federal government coming in and overruling the state's rule. Second, as usual with this president, it's politics over policy. He likes to fight with California. It's Hollywood. It's liberals. It's everything that he tries to rally against. It's appealing to the middle part of the country and juxtaposing it with the extremes of the coasts. You know those people in California, and you know those people in New York. They're different. That's the innuendo. And he's fighting with the governor of California, and I think this is part of it. It's personal animus.
So New York doesn't have anything in mind in terms of its rules and regulations for its automobiles.
Well, we are part of a climate coalition with California, and we are supporting California in their fight against the federal government because it's also incredibly irresponsible. We're in the midst of climate change, Hurricane Dorian. What other evidence do you need? It's every week. And he's trying to roll back emission standards, which is just the exact opposite of everything any sane person would be doing.
Okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about New York State Senate Republican leader John Flanagan, who says your Democratic Party committee chair, Jay Jacobs, is turning the Public Campaign Financing Commission into a sham and a charade after reports that he sought opponents of fusion voting to attend yesterday's public hearing in Albany. There's a commission. Let's bring everybody in on this. There's been a commission that is supposed to make sure that we have public financing. Is that correct?
There's a commission that is to set electoral rules, including public financing. Yes.
Now, the people at the Working Families Party have said that you've put a poison pill into all of this, which is to get rid of, the fact that two different you can run on two different parties, that you want the Working Families Party punished because they endorsed your opponent in the primary, and this is get even politics. Is that so?
First of all, it's not a poison pill. It's a relevant issue. Some people think public financing is a poison pill. If you talk to John Flanagan, he says public financing, which he happens to oppose, is a poison pill.
Why does he oppose it? Why do the Republicans oppose public financing? Like in New York City, half the state already has it, right?
Well, half the state has it, but, Doctor, in truth, it's opposed by the majority of the people in the state. Clearly, they don't want to pay for politicians' campaigns. And that has been true for years in every poll that has been taken. So one man's poison pill is another man's positive reform, right? Or
right.
Woman.
Yeah.
So you have a commission. The commission has people on it, a variety of people, some appointed by me, the Assembly, the Senate, majority, minority. They all come with their own opinion. Some have opinions on public finance. Some have opinions on fusion voting. Flanagan says the Democratic chairman comes with opinions. Yes, sort of like Flanagan's appointees, which include, I believe, his former counsel, who started by saying public finance is a poison pill. Or the Assembly minority Republicans who say public financing is a poison pill.
Wait. Let me just get this straight because it's terribly important. I was under the impression that you have always said that public financing of elections is a good thing. Now you seem to be saying there are a lot of people who think it's not, shows up in polls not. Are you for it or are you against it?
I am for it. I support it. I have proposed it numerous times. It was stopped by a Republican Senate year after year after year. I support it. The commission is supposed to consider that issue among others.
Well, but you've elected you've collected a fortune to run with over the years. The people give you big money. Why should you be for it?
I think it's a positive reform, and it's the rule of it's the rules of the game. All I've always said is everybody has to be under the same rules. And as long as the rules are the same for everyone, fine. But on this commission, to get to your point, on this commission, there are people who have very strong feelings one way or the other. The Republicans are against public financing. I don't know where they are on the other issues. But these are all people who come. One of the appointees is from the Brennan Center. They're very strongly in favor of public financing. Flanagan's people are against public financing. So everybody comes with their opinion on these issues. They're experts on these issues. If I appointed you on a panel of journalism, on journalism, yeah, you would have opinions on journalism. And
yes,
you're
I would.
A credible person, and people can agree or disagree.
Yeah, but I don't get it. I just want to make it clear to everybody that the governor of the state of New York says that while the Republicans, who a lot of people have accused you of being great friends with in the past, while the Republicans are opposed to it, you're for it. You're for it, right?
Yeah, yes. And let's also get this great friends, okay?
Yeah. People thought they were in your control because anytime you wanted to flip the switch on them, they'd be out of there.
That's a lot of garbage. It's just factually not true. And look, in this crazy political environment where facts don't matter and history doesn't matter and the truth doesn't matter, anyone can say anything. I had a Republican Senate. They opposed all the many of the progressive things that I wanted to get done. I believe when history looks back is going to say, despite them, I got historic progressive things done. I got marriage equality passed by begging for Republicans to actually support it. The Conservative Party then came back and executed those four Republicans for their transgression. But they stopped many of the things I wanted to get done. Well, then you should have cursed them and refused to talk to the Republican Senate. And then I would have gotten nothing done for the people of the state of New York. All the good things we've done, I could have been had enjoyed my politics and my arrogance, and I would have gotten nothing done. I don't believe that's a responsible chief executive. I don't. You have a Republican Senate. They have a different. They're from a different political party. Work with them to get as much done as you can.
Okay,
now I have to deal with you saying, you were great friends with them.
Yeah.
No, I did my job, doctor. I was elected to lead all the people of the state, Democrats and Republicans, and get things done. And I cooperated and compromised within reason, and we got great things done. Doesn't make me great friends with them.
Okay, yes or no?
I had unprecedented political support to get a Democratic Senate elected. I spent millions of dollars. I went all across the state. I campaigned for the Democrats. And many of them, if they were honest, would say I was instrumental in their election.
You mean they're not honest? You mean those Democrats of the state Senate aren't honest people? Is that what you're saying? You said if they were honest?
If they were being honest on this issue and they really looked in the mirror and said, well, did the governor, was he one of the reasons? Look, everybody wants to say, I won on my own. It had nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah.
People saw my intelligence and my personality and my charisma and my natural gifts and elected me on my own. That's what I mean when I say honest. You know, for me, did anybody help me get elected? You know, arrogance says, no, everybody loves me. Nobody helped me. I did it all on my own. I had a lot of people, in truth. If I were being honest, I would say a lot of people helped me. Some helped me inadvertently. Some people opposed me and wound up helping me. That was directed. Honest as an expression, if they were really going to be reflective.
Okay. So for those people who think you kept the Republicans in power by your arrangement with the independent Senate Democrats, those are the traitorous Democrats who went over and helped the Republicans, they thought you were behind that. That's not true, is it?
No, and nobody real thinks that. I mean, that can be the conspiracy theory among the conspiratorial people, but no, it's not true.
Okay. Now let's talk about this fusion voting thing. Right now in New York State, it's been for a long time, you could vote for somebody, you, for example, on the Democratic Party, or you could vote for you on the Working Families Party, right?
Yes. Or the Liberal Party or whatever other parties or the parties are created, the Neighborhood Preservation Party or whatever party, yes.
Vegetarian. Do you think that that's wrong? In other words, do you think it's wrong that you should be able to vote for Andrew Cuomo on four different tickets rather than just on the Democratic ticket?
I have not taken a position on fusion voting. It gets very complicated very quickly because how many lines can you run on? What does it take to create a line in the state? What does it take to circulate petitions? You'd have to look at the entire system. And that's what this commission is supposed to be doing.
But the Working Families Party think you're out to cripple them.
I know. And people think there's still a Santa Claus, and people believe in the Easter Bunny, and people believe in Donald Trump. You know, what do you want me to tell you? I ran on the Working Families Party line.
Yeah, but you accepted their endorsement. On the other hand, they ran a candidate against you in the primary, right?
Yes, but
and
in
some
the
people
general
think
election,
you're getting even with them now.
In the general election, after that fact, there was then a new fact that was postdated that fact. I then took their line in the general election.
Yes, you did.
And you know, the general election is what determines a party's ability to actually qualify legally as a party, and I took their line there and thereby qualifying them as a party.
And what you're saying is
conspiratorial, angry Machiavellian, then governor, just don't take their endorsement in the general election. And maybe they wouldn't even qualify as a party and they would have been gone. Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I just want to clear that up. Now, your administration is calling off the controversial plan to charge up to $45 for mandatory license plate replacements. Was this a defeat for you? I mean, it sounds to me like you may have changed your mind. You said it was the legislature, not you. But will this decision make it harder for New York to raise much needed revenue?
Just because facts once in a while, although tedious, can be helpful.
Fair enough.
The legislature, least they forget, passed a law in 2009 saying the fee could go up to $25, which in governmental talk means the fee is $25. It was set, passed by the legislature, set by Patterson in 2009 at $25. It has been $25 since 2009. So it's been $25 for 10 years. Some might say, $25 for 10 years. You mean it never went up? No inflation? No. $25 for 10 years. Now you have these legislators who want to play politics who say, I can't believe it's $25. What do you mean you can't believe it's $25? It's been $25 for 10 years. You never said a word. If you're a Republican senator, you were in the majority. Why, during the budget discussions, why didn't you reduce it? If you're a Democrat in the Assembly, why didn't you reduce it over the past 10 years when you did the budget? So that's pure hypocrisy and phoniness, if any reporter actually asked the right questions.
And yet you're being portrayed in the press, Governor, as having, you know, basically said, okay, you don't have to pay this. We're not going to do this anymore. In other words, have lost this fight. Is that not true?
No, let's go to the second fact. The second fact is we have a new demand on license plates. What does that mean? We're now going to electronic tolling. Electronic tolling uses cameras to take a picture of the license plate. The license plate has to be in a good condition for the camera to work. If the camera doesn't get a picture of the license plate, it means it doesn't send a bill to that person, which means you don't collect the toll, which means everybody else has to wind up paying the toll for that person who got away without paying the toll. For the camera to work, the reflective coating on the license plate must be in effect, must be present and in good condition. The way the camera works is it takes the picture of the plate, and the reflective coating that is on the plate is important. The national standard for the useful life of a license plate before it degrades is 10 years. What DMV said is, at the end of 10 years, you must get a new license plate. That's what triggered the discussion. People said, I have to get a new license plate at the end of 10 years. How much is a new license plate? $25, which it has been for 10 years. And that then said created the issue in the first place. What DMV has said is, look, the useful life of a license plate is 10 years. That's the national standard. Can there be license plates at the end of 10 years that are still in good condition? Yes. My license plates are going to be in good condition at the end of 10 years because I don't drive my cars that much because they sit in the garage. And I polish my license plates.
You do? You get down on your knees and you polish your license plates?
Yes. Yes, I do. It's a little obsessive, I know. But it gives me joy at the same time. So my license plate will be in good condition. So the question then is, well, how do you determine at the end of 10 years if a license plate is still in good condition? And DMV said, we're open to any mechanism that we can come up with that is workable. For example, the inspection stations, when you go to inspect a car and you have to get the emissions done and the inspection done every year, maybe they can inspect the plate. Maybe you could bring your plate to DMV and show them the plate when you re-register. So DMV says we are totally open to any mechanism to look at a plate after 10 years to determine if it's in good condition, then you don't need a new plate, which is entirely reasonable. But the politics on the $25, you have legislators who, to me, which is just politically irresponsible, were feigned shock and surprise that the plate was $25. and this was an excessive amount.
Well, it seems to have worked. You pull back.
No, it wasn't about the $25. It was about you need a new plate at the end of 10 years. Mm-hmm. That's where DMV says we'll find a way to inspect it, so if you don't need it, you won't get it. On the cost of the plate, the $25, I said to the legislature, you want to reduce the $25? Fine. First of all, you should have suggested it. Second, you can reduce it to whatever you want. You can make it zero if you want. You want to give me my license plates for free? Fine. Money is fungible. Just find the money somewhere else when you do the budget. You can make license plates zero, $7, $50. It's all fungible. What you get from license plates, you can increase something else, increase the fishing license, increase taxes, spend less money on education. It's all fungible, and they know that. The $25, part of it goes to the cost of the place, but part of it goes to the state budget. And when we do the budget, you want to reduce license plates, reduce it. Just find the money somewhere else, and everybody knows that's the fact and the truth.
Okay, now I got to move on because we're running out of time here, Governor, and I know you don't want to do that.
I'll stay as long as you want to.
Well, you think I make these
continue
decisions?
Continue the Inquisition.
You think I make these decisions? I don't make them. There are people
I'm
named.
I'm telling
Ian,
you, as long as you there, will, there I have people, all the time in the world.
There are people named Ian Pickus and Rich Azzapardi and Melissa DeRosa. These are all people who, you know, are pulling the strings behind, you know,
okay,
like the Wizard
I'm
of
here,
Oz did. Yeah, okay.
Let's do this. I'll take responsibility for Azzapardi and DeRosa. And if Ian hangs up on us, he hangs up on us. That's your on you.
Okay, on a related issue, Jimmy Bielkind says that, let me go back here. You have signed legislation establishing April 28th. 2020 as the primary date in New York. You're calling on the legislature to establish all primaries on that day, state, local, and congressional. First of all, why? And why isn't it, why haven't they all been on the same day anyway?
Good question. Stated in an angry tone.
An animus, yes.
Animus, yes. Well, the animus has been constant.
Yes, it has.
This is what happened. Last year, we had state primary elections in September and federal in June because the federal government required that their primary elections be done in June for various reasons. We moved the state September elections to June, so we had all the elections on the same day. Because we do believe we want to make it easier to vote. Why should people come out twice? Why should we hold two elections? It's very expensive. Consolidate the elections. We did that.
I've always had the feeling that the why in that case is because somebody's got a political agenda by making people come out two or three times. They're going to win somehow. Is that too conspiratorial?
Stay with me,
yes.
Well, you're getting ahead of me. So
okay.
We consolidate all the elections in June. This year, we have a presidential primary. The presidential primary rules nationwide basically force us to set it in April 28th, at April 28th, and I just signed that law.
Right.
Now we have a situation this year where we have an April presidential primary and a June primary for state and Congress. I said, that makes no sense.
No, and it costs a lot
of
money.
Two elections, you've come out and you vote for the presidential, ray, 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 all this energy, all this activity. You come out in April and you vote for the presidential primary. And then 2 months later, there's a separate election where I have to come out and vote for the federal and the state. Makes no sense. You'll have lower turnout. Who's going to come out and vote 2 months after the presidential? It costs an extra $20 million. The boards of election have to hold two elections, and the board of elections will give you a chapter and verse about how they're overburdened, et cetera. I said, in this year, in this anomalous situation, move the June primaries to April so we have one election day. Everybody can vote. Vote on the main election day, which is going to be the presidential. And I think the legislature should do that, and they can do it in on January 1.
Will they?
They had it in a poll, and the overwhelming number of New Yorkers said, yes, we should only have one election, save the $20 million.
So if they don't, then why won't they?
You'd have to ask them.
I got it. I knew you were going to say that. Okay. So in the most recent Democratic presidential debate, former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke said, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. Does that statement hurt efforts to pass federal gun control legislation by further stoking the belief that Democrats want to take away people's guns?
Short answer is yes, because the Republicans will use it to do what you just said. They will say to the already frightened gun owners and pandering Republican federal officials what they're saying. If you listen to Fox News, see, I told you so. This was the slippery slope. The Democrats want to confiscate your guns.
So he shouldn't have said it.
Well, look, he said it. Because politically, he's running for president. There's 887 people running, and he's trying to strike out and differentiate himself. And this is a has real appeal to many Democrats. I think that's why he said it. I can't get into his mind and his soul. I don't believe he ever took this position before. He's from Texas. He ran for Congress. I think he ran for Senate. I don't think he had this position when he was running in Texas, but now he's running in a presidential and he wants to break out. And I think his calculus, again, I can't speak for him and I can't see in his soul. He may have had a genuine change of mind, or it's politics. I want a position where I can break out and differentiate myself. But will the Republicans now seize on this and say, that's why we won't compromise, because we don't trust you, because we think there's a real intent to go to confiscation, and now somebody actually said it, the C word, they call it, the Republicans? Yeah, I think they'll use it as an excuse, and I do believe for some of the paranoid on their side, this will feed and fuel their paranoia. They want to take my gun. My gun is to defend me from an obnoxious government, and now they want to take arms from the citizens so government has total control and you don't have an armed citizenry to defend themselves from an oppressive government. That school of thought will be fueled.
Okay, we have less than 2 minutes. You signed a new law Wednesday that expands the time period in which victims of rape can bring criminal and civil cases. In many cases, the statute of limitations was just 5 years. Why are these changes necessary, Governor? And we only have a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
Because the 5 years was artificially a short period of time. You're talking about a victim of rape. They're traumatized. They're dehumanized. In many of these cases, the trauma will take months or years or a lifetime to overcome. And to tell a person, well, if you're not willing to go public and be willing to cross-examine and expose this painful situation to everyone in your life, and if you're not willing to do that in 5 years, then we're going to let the perpetrator go free and take away your right to bring your cause of action was repugnant to justice.
I'm sorry for being rude, but we only have a minute. Times Union columnist, my friend Chris Churchill, wrote this week that you should have run for president. Is that still possible?
Anything is possible, but I have no intention.
Oh, that could be a headline. Anything is possible, said the governor when asked if he could run for president.
Only because anything is possible. But Look, I said to the people of the state when I was running for governor, I will serve as your governor, and I want to serve as your governor, and I want to do your job. Why is it so incredible that a politician actually means what he says and stands by what he says? And why is it so incredible that a politician isn't just about taking the next step on the ladder and how do I enhance myself, and actually wants to do the job that the person ran for and committed to? I want to be the best governor I can be. That's what I want in my heart of hearts.
Governor Andrew Cuomo?
I want
Cuomo?
To make this state better for my kids and for your kids and for everyone else's kids. And, Alan, I believe we are doing that. And I believe we are doing that very well. And even though these are nasty times and people want to see the worst and nobody's good and politicians are evil and they're self-aggrandizing, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. That's what
meaning,
I'm going to do.
Meaning you're not going to run for president, right?
Right.
Definitely not. Okay, Governor Andrew Cuomo, great to talk to you, as always. Sorry if you consider my questions sometimes disrespectful, but, you know, that's who I am, as you indicate. So thank you for being with us. It's always fun.
No, look, I enjoy it for a very perverse reason.
What's that?
You have always been a harsh critic of mine.
Yes.
And I think to expose oneself to the harshest criticism is in some ways liberating.
Great to talk to you, Governor. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you.